They had an opportunity to participate in a flag retirement ceremony. And some guy came up to me afterwards, and he said, "Man," he said, "if that doesn't bring you to tears," he said, "nothing will." And I looked at him, and I quoted something that George Jantz with the cathedral said one day. He said, "If that doesn't move you, your wood's too wet." I thought he pretty well said that well. There was a sign at the end of a serving line at a Catholic high school cafeteria that had been placed there by a nun. And the sign was right over a basket of juicy, red, delicious apples. And the sign read, "Take only one. God is watching you." Well, at the end of the serving line, there was a far more ingenious student that over the basket of chocolate chip cookies and said, "Take all you want. God is watching the apples." I need some new material, too. What does it mean to serve? Sermon today is the habit of serving. So what does it mean to serve? So I went to my true resource. I went to the internet. And it said, quantity of food suitable for or served to one person. Well, that's not what I'm looking for. So I went back and looked again, and it said, to work for someone as a servant. The servant, the steward, serves the king. To fight or undergo military service. To give homage or obedience to. I stole this from someone that I saw on the internet this week, I believe it was, but it said, what is a veteran? I'm sure you've seen it, but I'm going to share it if you were friends with Karen. It said, a veteran, whether active duty, discharged, retired, or reserved, is someone who at one point in his life wrote a blank check to the United States of America for an amount up to and including death. That is honor. And there are way too many people in this country that no longer understand that fact. And it's unfortunate. But that's the way society is, you know, has gotten to. I think that better says it than any type of quantity of food we're being served. What Jesus was saying is, if you want to do great things in this world, you gotta become a servant. You gotta get a servant's heart. And if we want to do great things and we want to take on that capacity that he's given us, then we have to take on that capacity of having a servant's heart and being willing to serve. You know, it's possible to serve in a church. You can serve in a school. You can serve in a hospital and never be a servant. And then think about that. If I don't have the servant's heart and the desire to do that, it's a job. It's a position. It's something I do sometimes maybe with drudgery. But that's what it takes. The world defines greatness anymore, and it's unfortunate, but by acknowledging things in terms of power, terms of possession, terms of prestige, terms of position. I heard this week on the radio that if you have $15 in your pocket or $15 in your bank account, that you are richer than 92% of the people in the world. And that's an amazing statistic when you stop and think about that. But a lot of people measure, you know, their success or what they have by what they have in that checking account or in that checkbook. A lot of people think, if I can demand service from others, I've arrived. But a person's never arrived until they're willing to serve, until they're willing to stoop down and take that. Acting like a servant in our culture is not a popular thing. People don't like to do it. People don't like to serve one another. And Nancy, you mentioned it today. And we have this opportunity on the Thursday after Thanksgiving to serve people at First Presbyterian Church in Hamilton. And I tell you, if you've ever been there, what you do is you forget who you are and you look at who they are. It's an opportunity to go and to serve food. It's an opportunity to be a friend. It's an opportunity to listen to someone. It's an opportunity for someone to share some troubles with you. It's an opportunity to pray. It's an opportunity to serve. So I would encourage you to, you know, plug that in your calendar if you would. You might expect that Jesus didn't look at greatness as the world does. Jesus measured greatness in terms of service. In terms of what do we do. That's what people's status really became. Greatness isn't how many people that do things for us, but it's how we do for so many other people. It always seems like God looks at things different than the world looks at them. And His perspective on life, and His perspective on us, and His perspective for what He would have us to do, is far different, I think, than what a lot of people have. You have probably watched the presidential debates, and there's some level of arrogance with some people. I needed that. You know, about, you know, and here's who I am, and here's what I am, and that, you know, this is what, you know, what people have done for me, and you see that coming out in it. I don't think that's what God perceives. He looks at it different. We saw many photos of people that had served up here. I thought I had an 8x10 picture of my dad. I think my brother must have it in his army uniform. But I looked around for that and I couldn't find it. And I was glad to find the one that I had. We rummaged through stuff when my parents passed away, and it was amazing the clutter you could absorb in 45 years of marriage. But they did it, and they had it. And I tell you, but I was glad to be able to find that. And we appreciate you taking that opportunity to send us those pictures, because it means something to know that people protected us, but it also means something to know they were your family members. And they were willing to do that. So we so much really appreciate doing that. What those people did, and what that quote that I read, I told you off of Facebook, is people were willing, servicemen in here were willing to sign their life away. My dad in Second World War, some of us during the Vietnam conflict, that we can sit here today. And so as we think about the Lee Greenwood song, God Bless America, how important it is that we asked God to bless America. Somebody said, once again, I don't believe God shut the door on America, but I believe that we need to continue to pray that away. Servicemen protected our freedom. They protected their families. They protected our families. They provided us a safe and secure place to live. For us, for our children, for our grandchildren, for our great-grandchildren. It's in time of conflict, we hear so much about war and fights and, you know, and disagreements and battles that are going on, that we take time to honor those that have served us so well. But serving also is contrary to what the world's idea of greatness is. Nancy said it when she was reading the scripture. James and John wanted to fight over who was going to sit on the left and right hand of Jesus. They were, you know, pushing and prodding and jockeying for a place next to Jesus. Has society changed? Not really. It's amazing. 2,000 years ago, it's the same thing that people continue to jockey for today. I looked all around, and I do a lot of reading and try to find, you know, sermon ideas and topics and things to talk about. And I can find thousands of books on leadership. But let me tell you, there's very few books on serving. Very little is written about serving. Everybody wants to be a general in the world today. You know, and if we're going to have a perfect church, we're going to have a perfect military, we need leaders, we need generals, we need, you know, commissioned officers, non-commissioned officers, but we also need privates and specialists. People that know their job far better than what that general knows it. I remember when, you know, before I retired managing, and, you know, offices, and I, you know, those people that were out on the front line, out talking to people and handling claims and doing things, knew far more about it than what I did. I spent a lot of time teaching agents how to sell an insurance policy. And I bucked the system when I went through the marketing training and didn't sell a policy. Because they waived all that stuff. I got by with a lot of stuff. Maybe that's God's favor, I don't know. Maybe he knew I couldn't sell an insurance policy. I don't know. But you appreciate those people that do those things. And so the question I ask you today, has God ever asked you to do something that you don't feel real good about? 1 John 2:2 says, He is the atoning sacrifice for our sin. And not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. So if Jesus was willing to die for our sin and what we did wrong, would he be wrong to ask us to do something that he wouldn't equip us to do? I really don't think so. He made that supreme sacrifice. And so when I ask you that question, have you ever been asked to do something that you don't feel equipped to do or you're not comfortable doing? And probably the answer is yes. I'm not going to ask the next question. No, I'll ask the next question, but you answer that to yourself. Have you ever done it when you didn't feel like you were really equipped? I admire you two ladies because you're equipped to do things far more than I am. But God will equip us to do certain things at certain times. And I mentioned this Thursday night that we're going to share this. And Greg said he had been times that he had, you know, had felt the gift of prophecy, even though that's not a gift that Greg would tell you he has. But there are times that God wants us to speak things to people that is a prophetic word that we may not think it is. But it may be a word of encouragement. And that's what God is wanting us to do. The Message version, I want to read this out of Matthew. It says, Just then a religious scholar stood up with question to test Jesus. Teacher, do I need to do, what do I need to do to get eternal life? And he answered, What's written in God's law? How do you interpret it? He said, that you love your Lord, your God, with all your passion, with all your prayer, muscle, and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself. Good answer, Jesus said. Prophetic word, a bit of encouragement. Do it and you'll live. But looking for a loophole, he asked, And just how would you define neighbor? And Jesus answered by telling the story of the Good Samaritan. And that story goes on to tell about this person who was going down one of the roads And it was known for robbers and thieves. We talked last week about, you know, right to bear arms in, I think it was in the men's group, we talked about that. But this guy is robbed and beaten and stabbed, and he's left to die. And here comes, right along there, one, a Levite, a religious man showed up. He also avoided the injured man. The Bible actually says he walked across the road to get away from him. And there was a priest come along and he did the same thing. He probably looked at him, he might have kicked him to see if he was alive, and went on down the road. But a Samaritan came along, and the Samaritan stopped, bound up his wounds, put him on his animal, took him to an inn, left the innkeeper money in advance and said, if there's more that I owe you when I come back, I'll pay you. Now you would have thought that the Levite would have stopped and taken care of him. Levites were people, they weren't necessarily priests, some of them were, but not all of them. They were people who were assigned to take care of the tabernacle and the courts around it, and that's what they did. Later they were involved in interpreting the law, and so they functioned as teachers. You would have thought they would have known what the law was. Priests, they were people who were mediators between God and man, and they would take people's offerings and offer them to God. But the most despised person was a Samaritan. And that's the person that stopped and bound up this person's wounds and took care of him. Each of those should have responded as a servant. It was inexcusable for him not to. The Samaritan one, the one that was saying, I have the gift to serve. I have a gift of mercy. The others, we choose, you know, chose not to serve. They chose to just move on. But there are going to be times that we're going to be called upon to do things. And we need to do them. Difficult sometimes as it may seem, that you may think there and say, there's a more gifted person around here somewhere. Let me get them. That's not what God has called us to do. He's called us to be a servant. He may not continue to give you that gift and equip you that way, but he might. We don't know. We have some needs around here that we need some people to serve in. The people that have served in those jobs have done it without regret, have done it faithfully, have done a wonderful job. But you know, there's a time in all of our lives, with the exception of Phil, that we want to step away and take a break. And nobody understands that better than me. I understand that. But we need someone that's willing to step in and be a chairman of our finance committee. Bill's done a great job. Appreciate what he's done. He's done it far longer than I've been here and does a great job. But he wants to retire. So do I. But he will not retire until we find someone. But, you know, we need someone to serve. Judy's asked after 12 or 14 years of being the chairman of the nurture committee to, you know, take a break. Willing to serve on it, and I'm sure Bill would be willing to give us all the financial advice that we need. I've just put him on the spot. He can't say no. But, you know, Judy's asked to step away for a while. I understand that. She said she's willing to serve on the committee. But we need someone that will step up and say, hey, I'll do that. You know, it's only for a year. I've had a request from the publisher of the newsletter, the interim publisher of the newsletter, to find a replacement. Phil, we appreciate what you do. I've had a request from the chairman of the Ad Council, you know, to take a break. Bill, we appreciate what you do. There are people around here that enjoy singing. We need people that, you know, that just to let us know, hey, I'll be glad to come up here and stand behind a microphone. If you don't do it, it's Wayne and I. People have talent. People have gifts. We're going to do an Advent study starting the 19th. We're going to do it on a Thursday night, 7 o'clock. Scheduled to last an hour, probably an hour and 20 minutes with singing. We have some tremendous music on Thursday night. They practice for you on Sunday. But it's really good. I would encourage you to come. We do a lot more contemporary music. A lot of opportunities to serve. The only requirement is you got to have a servant's heart. I'm willing to do it. So here's the first application. It takes no special talent to pick up trash, to pick up chairs. It really doesn't take it. All it really takes is some maturity. And that maturity says, I don't need to be served. I'm willing to serve. And that's what maturity really is. It only takes a servant's heart. Matthew 7:16 says, you will know them by their fruit. We talked about James on Thursday night. And James is a great writer of a few verses toward the end of the New Testament. But he talks about faith without works is dead. What James is saying is, you have all the faith in the world. You can be a great Christian. But if you don't do something, who's going to know? Who's going to know what your faith is? Who's going to know how you are? And that's what Matthew is saying there. To serve, we put others first. We forget about ourselves. We forget about what I need. We forget about what I want. It's just serving others. It's doing something for someone else. It's helping people. God created people. The Bible says that He created us all equal. Somewhere along the line between God's creation and today, people are not equal. So there's a chasm there, you know, that we can help by filling. The second application is, if you're not serving your family as a start, start there. Now, I don't mean going around and picking up your husband's dirty clothes. Anybody do that? I don't mean going around and picking up his dirty dishes out of the man cave. You do not. That's not what I'm saying. But there are things around the home and things around there that we can serve each other. Doesn't really, you know, I mean, it might be making a cup of coffee for your wife or your husband. You know, you think about that serving? Yeah, it is. It's doing something that they don't expect. Might be doing something they do expect. It's done from our heart. When you serve, you'll be encouraged that I've been able to do something for somebody. Mark 9:49 says, everyone will be salted. What's that mean? I know. It's not on your outline either. That simply means that we're going to get burned. Sometime we're going to do something for people, and we're going to get burned. And you know, that kind of really bothers me. But I got hit right between the eyes this morning, looking in the mirror. God, I was thinking about the message. And I usually haven't done Monday or Tuesday, but I was thinking about this, and it's like, God said, you're not the judge. I'll take care of that. Yours is to do. And I thought, man, what a lesson. You know, you don't think God speaks to you? Don't look in the mirror. I mean, it was, you know, it was one of those things that just opened my eyes. You're not the judge, Larry. You're to do, you're to serve. And I'm referencing the situation that happened recently But that's not my place. And man, did it hit home. But he's right. Ever think I wish someone noticed what I was doing? Man, I did a good job. Who noticed? God does. And that's what it's all about. It's doing it for him, and it's doing it because of him. Debbie mentioned it. Linda mentioned it last, so I think it was Thursday night. She said this was the best send-off that she ever had. And why was that? Because people were willing to come up and pray for her, encourage her. She taught the Sunday school class last week. And I think I'm safe to say that she had everybody engrossed in what she was saying. And that's what it's all about. She loves serving. It's up there, let's read it. Peter said, "And serve each other according to the gift each person has received. As good managers of God's diverse gifts, whoever speaks should do so as those who speak God's word. Whoever serves should do so from the servant, from the strength that God furnishes. Do this so that in everything God may be honored through Jesus Christ. To him be honor and power forever and always. Amen." So we use our gifts. We're given gifts. We're given gifts to use. We are not given gifts to take to the grave. Revelation, folks. That's not why God gave them to us. He gave them to us to use. Paul went ahead and added, he said, "These gifts are given to equip the saints for building up the body of Christ until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ." Here's another revelation. I think some people think that they can go to any church. Doesn't make any difference where they go. They can go to any church. Don't underestimate God's plans for you or your life. God puts people in certain places because he needs them there because of the gifts that they have. We are unique. And there are certain things that I can do that others can't do. But there's so many more things that others can do that I can't do. And so God brings people together for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve him and to do his will. You didn't pick the church. God picked you. And God has an amazing plan for our lives. And he has an amazing plan for the church. And part of that is for us to serve. So here's the application today. Find your spiritual gifts. What are they? I'm lucky to know what mine are. But ask God and show him. I've got gift analysis surveys. If you need one, it'll tell you what your gifts are. Find out what it is. Be willing to use it. Get involved in a Bible study. We're doing one on Advent starting the 22nd. We're doing one on James. Do one at home. Go online and find a Bible study. But find out what God's got for you and what he's trying to tell you. Look for opportunities to serve. What's he want me to do? Where does he want me to do it at? What might be his plan, you know, for me in this church? And then stay open to what he would have you to do, because things are always changing. We're always changing. We're becoming more equipped. We're, you know, and our gifts change. So those four things: find your spiritual gift, get involved in a Bible study, learn what God's saying to us today. Look for opportunities to serve, because they are out there. And then keep in mind that we need to be open to the Spirit, because things are changing in our lives.